Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la
podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 204, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island, and Diamonddale, Michigan. My name's Gary, I'm your host, joined by Mike from Michigan this week. Hey Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I was going to say joined, as always, by my co-host Mike, but you are a co-host and you are a Mike, but you're not always here. You're here often now, though. You've been around a lot more often since we built that studio. We invested a lot in it, so we figure we get the most out of it.
Yeah, this is the first time I've been on with you in a while. It's mostly been Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
Mike and Mike in the whenever people listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that show went away, so you guys had to fill in the gaps there.
Yeah, which I think we're doing pretty well. I mean, I like to think we're doing better.
Yeah, really. You can't do any worse than those guys. They were pretty terrible, to be honest.
Well, they were terrible, but they were on for quite some time.
Yeah, sure were. They were on for a long time.
Terrible is relative when you're on the air for, like 19 years or something like that?
I'm sure their bank accounts don't mind. I mean, they made some change doing that, but I could not get through that show. Not for me. I was not their audience, that's for sure.
No, but I like listening to them. I would rather listen to them than to either Colin Cowherd or Stephen A. Smith. Mostly Stephen A. Smith. I can't stand him.
Yeah, most of the national guys. I like the local people more than the national when I listen to it anyway.
You guys got a local Mad Dog?
Well, we get the Boston station. It's simulcast in Rhode Island, so I listen to the Boston guys.
Seems like every market has a Mad Dog.
Yeah, the show I like is kind of, they make fun of the traditional sports shows, so they don't really talk a lot about sports. They more make fun of traditional sports shows, and I don't know, it's kind of, you have to listen to it. It's one of those that you get rewarded for the more you listen to it, kind of like a Howard Stern type of show.
Yeah, you kind of get all the jokes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Mike, por favor, Mike down in Florida, he is in the process of a multi-million-dollar studio renovation, if you could believe it, and that's why he's not on this week.
Yeah, I'd like to know, how long does it take a person to get internet in Florida?
A long time, apparently.
Apparently. I feel like it took him ages to get internet at his last place that he moved into.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he, manually traces it back. He must have one little outlet that he knows is free, and he runs a Ethernet cable
along
the highway and tries to bury it out of the way.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. But he's putting all this money into the studio, and then he's cheaping out on the internet.
Oh, is he getting the dial up? Going back to the dial up?
Yeah. You've got mail. No.
With the door creaks when he gets on.
Oh yeah, the AIM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rest in peace, AIM. That thing went away this year, didn't it? Or last year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. How many screen names did you have on AIM?
I had three.
Yeah.
That I went through.
Yeah.
My first one that I remember, I was Brahma Bull 55.
Oh, the rock. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And then I was RBF C22, which was Real Big Fish Catch 22 in my ska music phase.
Yeah, with the horns.
Yes, exactly. And then I went to Yukon Gary 7 when I was in
UConn.
College. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yukon, not like Yukon, like
not
the
area, Yukon. Okay, UConn. Yeah, got it. Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. I can't remember my first one, but I had for a while Big Red Mike 11.
Okay.
Because
big fan of the cinnamon gum.
No, actually, where I went to. In high school, we were the Big Reds.
Oh, okay.
Which now is frowned upon. You can't say that. So now, from what I understand, they're just the Big Red. Kind of like Syracuse used to be the Orange Men, and now they're just the Orange.
The Orange, yeah.
But anyways, I was Big Red Mike 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was 5-0-2005.
Fievel, like from the mouse.
Yeah, yeah. It was a nickname in high school because I had large, you know, front teeth.
Ah, I see.
So I embraced it.
You went with it.
Yeah.
You stared into the turn.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. But hey, but speaking of the Brahma Bull.
Yes.
What do you think about this this announcement today?
Oh, are you talking about the return of the XFL?
I sure am.
I'm not really sure what to think because the original XFL I was excited for. I ended up glomming onto the Memphis Maniacs. That was the team I rooted for in the XFL.
Which one were they? Were they the black and red one?
No, they were like baby blue. Black and red was the Las Vegas Outlaws, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's who He Hate Me
He
played
Hate Me,
for,
Rod
right?
Smart, yeah. So I was a Memphis Maniacs guy. I believe their star player may have been Rashawn Salaam, if I'm remembering correctly, maybe, or Timbiaka Batuka, one of those guys that that era
Michigan
of running back.
Man.
Yes. But I was all in on that because I was a big wrestling fan. They promoted it, so I'm like, you know what? I'll watch this stupid thing. And it was kind of good. I mean, they had touchdown Tommy Maddox was the league MVP, and then they had Rod Smart, a few guys on there that actually were pretty decent players, but it ended up being a huge cluster because they had, like, no rules. They didn't have practice time for the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, their whole thing was they were extreme. They didn't follow the same, like, you know, because the NFL was just starting to get into, like, more safety for the players, and then the XFL was like, oh, we don't care. You know, everyone go no punting or whatever, no kickoffs, no coin toss, all that stupid stuff. Now, in the press conference today, they're talking about how, like, which is good, that, like, concussion protocol is very important to them to follow and that they won't let players that have gotten a DUI play in the league and they won't, you know.
They're not going to have any players.
Well, yeah, and they won't, like, they make sure everyone stands for the national anthem. So they went from, like, the extreme to, like the fuddy-duddy league almost, the XFL.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But
even did you ever watch that? Did you ever watch that 30 for 30?
Oh, it was good, wasn't it? That was a great one.
You know, it really is kind of amazing, like, how really innovative it actually was and, like, a lot of the stuff that the NFL adopted.
Yeah, especially the production. Mostly the production stuff.
Yes,
like the camera above the field and a lot of different things like that they innovated. And I would expect that to be the trademark. And hopefully, I mean, there's room for a minor league football league in the off season of the NFL.
Yeah.
There's no reason that can't be successful. They just don't want I think the mistake they made was they tried to compete with the NFL the first time, even though it was in the off season, they tried to, like, put themselves against the NFL, where now it should be a supplement to the NFL. You know, you like football season's over, now we have this league that you can watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the players obviously aren't gonna be as good, but there'll be room for some decent players. Tim Tebow. I'd love to see him in the league.
You think Tebow will get back in there?
Tebow and Kaepernick. Imagine Kaepernick. He could be, like, the first pick of the draft.
Is Tebow still playing baseball, or is he done with that whole ordeal?
I'm not sure. He must make so much money as a commentator for ESPN that the baseball thing is, like, a little side project.
Kinda which is, like, really baffling because he's really not very good.
No. As what, a commentator or a baseball player?
Yes.
Yes, both. Yeah, I know. Or a football player. No, I love Tebow. He gets a lot of hate, and people, I don't know why, but I love Tebow. I always did.
I like him, too. I just don't think that he's that great of a commentator.
No.
Or a baseball player, but I like him, man. The kid, he's got gusto, I'll tell you that.
I think he'd be great for a league like this, where he would be kind of like a big fish in a small pond. I bet he'd have, I mean, it's like college. He would be able to play his style.
Yeah, could you imagine him
good.
In the huddle of the XFL?
Right.
Oh, man.
So hopefully I was looking at some things online and people were commenting, like, if they do it like WWE and they try to book a heel face, they could have, like, Colin Kaepernick versus Tim Tebow.
That's so true. It's so true.
The good guy versus the bad guy. It would be funny if that worked out that way. But we'll see. It's still 2 years off, so by that time, Tebow will be kind of past his prime if he hasn't played in 5-6 years.
Yeah.
You know, 2020.
Well, you know what would be great too is, you know how, like, in the WWF, they would every once in a while they'd have, like, celebrities come on. Remember, like, when Rodman was going on for a while.
Yeah, Karl Malone versus Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, well, what if they, like, you know, like, every once in a while in a game put in, like, a celebrity? Like, what if they put in The Rock at DN for one of these teams?
Oh, he was good in Miami,
Or Goldberg.
Yeah, that's
true. Goldberg and bring him back.
That'd be interesting. All of a sudden, awesome. At halftime, he comes out and the music starts playing.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Cuts a promo on the quarterback. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would think that considering how poorly that ended, that they would try to separate themselves from it, but they got the buzz today. I mean, that was a big story, so I think it's something that could work.
I honestly think that that 30 for 30 really helped their case, too. That's, I mean, because it got, yeah, it got people talking about it again.
And now, you know, in the day and age we're in, they'll be judged so much differently.
Yeah.
Because when they did it in 1999, 2000, to get, you know, a couple million people watching an event on TV wasn't a big deal. If they can get 2-3 million people to watch these games, that's a huge, that's a big win for a cable network. Mm-hmm. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, you had to be getting 10 million to be a big deal. Yeah. But it's so fragmented now. And who knows, with the way these streaming platforms try to get sports, like Netflix, imagine if it's a Netflix series and you can only watch it on Netflix, that would probably be successful, or Amazon Prime or Facebook Live or whatever.
Definitely.
Because it's interesting. I don't know if you follow wrestling at this point in your life, but I still follow it a little bit. And WWE has just started doing an exclusive Facebook Live tournament. Every week they have like a match or two for a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, on Facebook Live, with people commenting, and then some of the wrestlers comment, like the ones that aren't wrestling, and mm-hmm. it's like this big event, and it's been hugely successful the first 2 weeks they've done it. So I wonder if this is like kind of like putting their toes in the water. It's like, imagine if the only place you could watch the XFL is on Facebook Live. It might be an event big enough where people would, it could draw enough advertising and, you know, get into that kind of aspect of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. In this day and age, with the way social media is, I think there's room for it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think you're absolutely right.
All right, well, you got a beer of the week for me, Mike?
I do. Yeah, this is actually my wife on her way home, she picked me up a six pack, because the only beer that I had in the fridge was one that I've already used before, and I can't do that.
No.
I can't do that.
Not as a part timer, especially.
No. Right. Exactly. So this is, I've never had this before. This is from Oddside Ales from Grand Haven, Michigan. I've actually never even heard of this brewery. But this is a Citra Pale Ale. It says, this bright and crisp ale is sure to tickle your taste buds. Not quite a pale ale, not quite an IPA. This is our flagship beer, which is brewed exclusively with Citra hops. The aroma is an intoxicating bouquet of grapefruit, tropical fruit, lemon and pine, 5.5% alcohol by volume.
How is it? So, do you like it?
Yeah, it's okay.
Like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd say 6
in
out
that
of 10.
Range. Yeah.
Well, when I read lemon and pine, I'm like, it sounds like it's gonna taste like pine salt.
Yeah, like a cleaner, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which it doesn't, but it's not that great. It's it's okay. It's not bad though.
So my beer this week I have from Evil Twin Brewing, and I don't even know where that's out of. Let's see. Stratford, Connecticut, and it's distributed by 12% in Brooklyn, New York, and this is an Imperial Biscotti Break. It's an Imperial Stout brewed with coffee and almond with vanilla added. And it says, Italy has a certain je ne sais quoi fab food culture, highly decadent history of art and cool countryside. Some might argue the people are loud and flamboyant. They steal our women. The soccer players melodramatically flop on the pitch. Listen, that's all part of the secret Italian ingredient. Keep it cool, confident, arrogant, and extravagant. Forza Italia. And listen to this. 11.5% alcohol by volume.
Oh, you drinking it in one of those...
it's a pint.
One of those little... Oh, wow. You're not messing around.
I didn't even realize it was that much. Maybe that's why it was like a $6 can of beer when I bought it as a single.
Yeah.
It's got good flavor. It's very good. You could taste the almond and the vanilla and the coffee for sure. and you don't taste the alcohol, which usually a beer that's over like 9 tastes very strong of alcohol, but this one's not too bad. So this would be a dangerous one if you had one of the 4-packs of it, but I like it. Evil Twin Brewing. I don't think I've ever had anything from them, but this is pretty good. Imperial Biscotti Break.
They're in Connecticut, you said?
They're out of Connecticut, yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, well, on that note, speaking of a break, we should probably take our first break and come back and get into the meat of the episode. How's that sound?
Sounds good, buddy.
Welcome to the XFL. On behalf of the players and coaches in the XFL, we welcome you to our brand of football. We welcome you to our game. We invite you to enjoy the all-access pass that gives you freedom to go places that other leagues have determined to be off-limits. So to our worldwide television audience, to fans all over North America, to fans here in Las Vegas, on behalf of the players, we simply say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of competing before you here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 204 of the Por Favor podcast. And this week, Mike from Michigan is going to indulge me in one of my favorite topics, and that is the food and wine. And you might be thinking, Gary, it's January. Why are we talking food and wine festival? And to that, I would say there's never a bad time to talk food and wine festival. And from 2017, I attended the food and wine festival, and I did not get to talk about my experiences and particular things that I tried that I liked and disliked. And Mike didn't actually go, I don't think, at all this year because of the move and everything that was going on with him at that time. It just wasn't working out.
That
didn't get
just,
to property.
That is just tomfoolery.
Yeah, I don't really know.
How can you be that close and not go to Food & Wine once?
I think a lot of it is that the times he could go, like Fridays and Saturdays, he knows are going to be a madhouse, and he doesn't like going when it's crowded, which I get. I mean,
That's true.
Even when I was there, I avoided it on Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
But I was there for the week, so I was able to go during the week when the crowds were lighter. And luckily for me, I keep all my passports, my Food and Wine Festival passports from the years. And you said you did the same, right? You were able to scrounge one up?
Nah, I have no idea where it is.
All right. Well, I'll go through it anyway.
But I have a website.
Okay.
Open. And so, it has the menus at every place. So
right.
is your passport, is that in alphabetical order?
It is not. It is in kind of whatever order they decided. I think it goes around World Showcase and starts off in Future World and then goes through World Showcase. It begins at the Epcot Legacy Showplace and it ends in Canada.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
On mine. So definitely not alphabetically.
Okay.
But we'll start with the Epcot Legacy Showplace, which was in the Odyssey, the old Odyssey restaurant.
Yes.
The craft beer center and everything. And besides what you had there, how cool was that setup with all the old Epcot stuff in there?
I loved it, dude.
That was awesome.
It had with all the pictures and...
they had the concept art and some models and stuff. Art.
Yeah, that was great. I loved it.
And they had that video playing in the background and the little the shop for the Epcot 35 stuff. That was great. I'm so glad they had that. And then they brought back some food, some blasts from the past as far as foods went.
Yep.
And they brought the chilled Scotch egg, which I did not try, the zesty cheeseburger and cheddar cheese macaroni handwich, which I did try, and the orange and lime cotton candy, which I did not try. I had that mac and cheese handwich, which was pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. It had a little bit of a zest to it, a little kick. But it wasn't anything that really knocked my socks off. Did you try that?
I did, yeah. That was the one thing that I had there, in addition to I think both the Eastern and the Western flight.
Yeah.
There, but yeah, I actually really liked the Hanwich.
Okay.
The one thing that I wish it would have been a little bit different is I wish that there would have been a lot more burger and less macaroni.
Yeah.
It was mostly just macaroni with like some burger in it, but I think if it was kind of switched around and had more of like a
bigger
like a
chunks of burger, or more. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't much meat in there at all.
But I did like the flavor a lot. I thought it was really good.
The mac and cheese, if it was just mac and cheese on its own like that, I would have liked it. But the cone, I don't know if I had a bad one, but the cone I didn't enjoy. It was way too chewy.
Yeah, it is chewy. I think that's just how it is.
How they are. It's the way they hold up. Yep. So, yeah, I felt like the mac and cheese was fine. There wasn't much burger, and the cone was a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wasn't, like, thrilled with it. But I did try the one of the flights. I forget which one, but the one that had the triple chocolate milk stout is the one I tried.
Yeah, and that was the Eastern flight.
The Eastern flight. Yeah, that was pretty good. I remember liking that triple chocolate milk stout a lot. And then the other ones I had didn't really stick out to me.
Yeah, I liked the milk stout. That one was really good. And then in the Western Florida flight, I remember I really liked the farmhouse ale. That one was really good.
Yeah, I like farmhouse
from
ales.
Central 28, yeah.
All right, the next stop on my list is a place that I know you're going to have a lot of good things to say. Flavors from Fire.
Oh, sweet mother of flavors.
So let's talk about this a little. We could probably spend a whole episode talking about this.
Yeah, we could.
What did you try from this booth?
So from there, I tried... Actually, all I had was the smoked corned beef with crispy... warm potatoes,
mm-hmm.
pickled onions, and the blonde air ale beer fondue. And that was by far my favorite thing that I had at Food and Wine.
Was it?
I will say this. I wanted to go back to Flavors from Fire mm-hmm. and try a couple other things, but like we talked about in a different episode, this was the trip that we were there that Hurricane Irma came.
Right.
So there was 2 days of at the parks that we missed. So a lot, I didn't get to nearly as much at Food and Wine as I wanted to. So I was pretty bummed about that. But yeah, that smoked corned beef is where it's at. That was by far my favorite.
So I had the benefit of being there with my parents, and we each were going to try one thing. So we got everything there besides the dessert. So I was able to try the piggy wings, the smoked corned beef, and the sweet pancake. And I agree with you on the smoked corned beef. That was the best thing that they had there. The piggy wings were very good. I would put that just below it. And then the pancake was third, and I liked it, but I didn't love it. I thought I was going to love it based on the description, a spicy chipotle chicken sausage, onion jam, and a maple butter syrup on a sweet pancake.
Yeah, it sounds great.
But the pancake had a weird, like, gritty texture. It was almost like it was a Johnny cake, which is a Rhode Island thing, made out of cornmeal instead of a pancake made out of, like, a batter.
Yeah.
Which was weird, but everything else sounded good. It just didn't all meld as it should have. I mean, that's kind of seemed like a no-brainer, but they messed it up a little bit.
Okay.
It wasn't inedible, but it wasn't something I would go back for. The wings and the corned beef were something I would definitely go back for. And I also have to mention that on one of the last nights, I was walking around with my sisters, and I ended up trying the swine brine, which I don't know if you saw that. It was basically like
pork
juice with Evan Williams bourbon and a piggy wing on top of it. Yeah, I don't even know what it was. It was like a smoked bacon something with Evan bourbons, and it was very good, actually. It was like salty and smoky, and then you get that bourbon kick, and it had a whole piggy wing like on top as a garnish.
Huh? And you paid $8.25 for that, huh?
I did.
I'm glad it's good. It sounds really weird, but
it was weird,
but good. I'm glad it's good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The next place on my list here is the Light Lab. Did you check that out? With the black lights and everything?
Nope. Didn't make it to there.
I went in there, and my sister got one of the donuts, just a big old donut.
Yeah.
Which
is just one of those Joffrey's donuts, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Just with like a white frosting that turns blue under black light. And I had a bite,
really?
And it tasted
white
like
white things will turn blue under black light.
Yeah,
huh.
Right. Whatever it was, I had a bite and it was tasted like a donut. To be honest, I mean, it was a fine donut, but it wasn't like, oh, this is the best donut I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I have Earth Eats, which apparently I didn't try anything there. Did you get anything from that one?
Let me see here.
Ricotta, zucchini ravioli, grilled beef skewer.
No, I didn't, but if I was going to get something, I would probably get that peanut butter and white chocolate mousse with caramel drizzle.
Yeah, see, I never do the desserts at Food & Wine, but I know there's probably some good things.
I don't either. I think I maybe have like once or twice, but that one sounds really good.
Yeah, you had that apple strudel thing last year. I remember you sent me a picture of it.
Yeah, that thing was good. That was a drink, though.
It was like apple pie martini or something, right?
Yeah, that one was good.
All right, next is Active Eats, another one I didn't try, where they had the loaded mac and cheese with the pepper bacon.
Yep.
Of salmon with quinoa salad and the sweet avocado crema with strawberries, yellow cake, and tortilla streusel. I skipped over that one completely. I don't know. How about you?
I don't think we did it this year, but we have had that loaded mac and cheese in years past. But I think it was at a different booth.
They changed the name of it. That was at the Florida Fresh booth before, and now it's moved over to this one.
And that was good. We liked that when we've had it in the past.
But we didn't get
anything this year.
Yeah. Coastal Eats is next on my list. This was one I really wanted to try everything, and I only get to try one. I did the seared scallops with roasted corn and butter bean succotash with a chili chipotle butter sauce. It was like the end of the night. It was probably like 8:40. Things were closing. I think it had been sitting out for a while because the scallops were a little overdone. They weren't bad, but you know, like if you get a scallop and it starts getting a little rubbery just from being overcooked,
mm-hmm.
It was like that. But the corn and butter bean succotash was very good. I like that a lot. And the scallop was fine. It had good flavor, just a little overdone.
Yeah.
Did you try anything there?
Yep. Actually, this night, I got the baked shrimp scampi with sourdough baguette.
Oh, that's
actually this.
Good.
Yeah, this night we, I actually went. It was just my aunt and I. We went after we went to Hoop Dee Doo.
Oh,
we went to Epcot and they had extra magic hours.
And you still ate after Hoop Dee Doo reveal?
Well, yes, but that's because I really wanted to try this.
Fair, that's fair.
And it was great. I loved it. It's one of those things that you just like you ate and you were like you just smiled because it was so good. And I just. When I ate that, I thought to myself, I was like, if you were to take this dip like to a Super Bowl party or like a tailgate or something like that, like
you would be
a hit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baked shrimp scampi dip with sourdough baguette. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
That was probably my second favorite thing that I had there.
Excellent. How about Chocolate Studio? You try anything at that joint?
No, we did not.
I skipped that. And then the Cheese Studio. Go with anything there?
Nope. Didn't have anything there either.
So I tried this savory caramelized onion and Boursin garlic fine herb cheese tart with a cold arugula salad with aged balsamic vinegar. And I split it with my sisters. And it was basically like the size of, like, you know those like Marie Callender's chicken pot pies you get?
Yeah,
like the little. It was like that size, and it was just cheese with onion on it. It was so big, and so rich, like almost made you sick to eat it. It's like something you could split with like five people, or you each have a couple bites, and it would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to split it, even between three people, was too much.
Hmm.
And it wasn't even that expensive. It was probably like $6 or something. So I'd say it was a good value, and it was very tasty. But it was one where you only need a couple bites. Like it didn't have good staying power.
Yeah, even $4.50 that one was.
Oh, that cheap, yeah. So even a slob like me didn't want to eat too much of it. And granted, that was right after I'd eaten that swine brine, or had that swine brine, so that might have had an effect on it, but maybe not.
I hope that's there next year. Well, actually, I probably won't make it there next year, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they usually bring a lot of the things back if they're popular.
Yeah.
The Wine and Dine Studio... I didn't try anything there, which I would have liked pretty much anything. Seared scallop with truffle celery root puree, Brussels sprouts, wild mushrooms, pulled duck confit with cannellini bean ragu, and Zinfandel reduction. Those both sound good. And an artisan cheese trio. But I didn't get to that one. Did you try anything there?
I don't I don't think so.
They were all together. Those were the three were together. The Chocolate Wine and the Cheese Studio were like in between Imagination. Kind of like and, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think I had it. No, we didn't go up there.
That was a nice setup they had over there.
Yeah.
In that, and then the Caribbean thing, the Caribbean Island one is nicely set up too in that same area, which is the next one we get to. Islands of the Caribbean. They had a mojo pork quesito, which is a dessert, and a Jamaican beef patty. I didn't try any of those. How about you?
Nope, we did not have anything there.
All right. I'm assuming refreshment port was not one of your stops.
Nope.
Chicken nuggets with Dole pineapple sweet and sour sauce.
No, this just seems ridiculous to get that at Food and Wine.
Yeah, I think that's like the kid place.
Yeah.
Now we're into the World Showcase section here. I have New Zealand and Australia back to back. New Zealand I skipped because I had tried the meatball and the mussels in years past, and I liked them, didn't love them. I didn't go with anything there this year. The seared venison loin may have been a good choice, but I didn't go with it. Did you try anything at New Zealand?
No, I don't think we got anything there. However, I have had the mussels, the steamed greenlet mussels and garlic butter.
Yeah,
I've had that
good.
Before. I've had that before, but not this year. And those are really good. I like those a lot.
Yeah, I feel like it's not a great value. You get like three mussels for like $6 or $7, and it's not a huge portion, but they are good.
Right.
At Australia, I tried the grilled sweet and spicy bushberry shrimp with pineapple, pepper, onion, and snap peas. Because I've had that lamb T-bone in the past, which was excellent. I had that last year, or 2016, and that was very good. The bushberry shrimp, though, that was a surprise hit. My sister wanted to try it, so she got it, and she gave me a couple bites, and I ended up like polishing that thing off. It was actually had a nice kick to it. Had a good late kick. It had the sweet from the pineapple, and it had a good spice, and the shrimp were big, and they were very well cooked. Everything, the whole meal, that was a good meal. You could eat like a whole plate of that over some white rice. It would have been a good meal.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. I'm assuming you didn't go with anything there.
No, we didn't have anything there.
How about the almond orchard? Try anything there? Cauliflower risotto, fire roasted tomato hummus, or a banana almond soft serve sundae?
No, we didn't have anything there. But I think if I would get something, I would get that banana almond soft serve sundae.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. It comes with fresh berries and crunchy chocolate oats.
Yeah, the crunchy chocolate oats. That sounds legit.
That might be a good thing to put on top. Although, cauliflower risotto with pulled chicken, artichoke, spinach, and Parmesan cheese sounds pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's at the almond orchard, because I don't see any almonds there, but that's okay. Sounds good to me. And then the Patagonia Pavilion has the beef empanada, or the grilled beef skewer with chimichurri and bonito puree. I did not try either of those items.
Nor did I.
All right. How about Hawaii? Get anything from there?
I don't think I did.
Kalua pork slider, grilled tuna tataki, and the teriyaki glazed spam hash.
Nope, didn't have any of that. The spam hash, honestly, kind of has me a little bit intrigued.
So I tried that. I did have that. My father got it, and I had a bite, and I did not like it. It was way too salty. The teriyaki sauce was like pure salt.
Well, I mean, you got teriyaki, and you put it with spam.
Well, yeah.
It's bound to be pretty salty.
That was the problem. But, like, you figure if you're going to mix it with the salty spam, you would go with maybe, like, a sweeter, maybe a little more heavy on the brown sugar and a little less heavy on the soy sauce in that teriyaki. But, yeah, it was like a salt bomb. Did not like it. And I'm a man who can eat some salt, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It was a little too much for me. Like, I had a little piece of the spam, which was fine. And then I had one of the potatoes, and it was like, it must have just been soaked in the teriyaki because, like, you cut into the potato and it was brown the whole way through from the teriyaki. Just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like totally
just
absorbed.
Marinating
in yeah. It. Which could be good, but it was not. It was way too salty.
Okay.
I wanted to like it. I gave it a chance and I really wanted to like it, but it was way too salty for me. I couldn't even go with more than one bite. Farm Fresh. I had something here that I really enjoyed. Actually, I didn't even mark it. Oh, I did mark it off. Here we go. I had that crispy chicken with the griddled cornbread and red-eye gravy, which was fantastic. That was in the running. That was one of my top dishes that I tried at the Food and Wine this year.
Was that Was that kind of behind like that one that Interventions building?
No.
Is that where the Farm Fresh one was?
It was like right when you get into World Showcase, you know how there's those two souvenir shops, like the one going towards Canada and the one going towards Mexico?
Yeah, it was
kind of directly across from the one going towards Mexico.
Okay.
Like if you're walking into World Showcase and you take an immediate left, it's like right there.
Okay.
And it was very good. The crispy chicken, it was a nice big portion too. The cornbread was fantastic, and the gravy was excellent. Chicken was okay. If the chicken was a little bit better, like a lighter, crispier breading, as opposed to like that, you know, like the breading that you get on the Disney chicken tenders? It was like a big one of those, so it's like the pre-frozen chicken. Like, if it was a fresh piece of breaded chicken, that would have been a perfect dish. But the gravy and the cornbread were fantastic. I'm looking at my next page here. I have Greece, Thailand, Mexico, and China, and I didn't stop at any of these booths this year.
What was it? Greece where?
Thailand, Mexico, and China.
We may have went to Mexico and China. Let me see what we got here for Mexico.
There's some good options. I didn't get to try everything, obviously. I mean, there's more that I would have liked to try, but...
So I don't think we had anything at Mexico, but we may have at China. Let me just try and find China here. We did the black pepper shrimp with garlic noodles, and that was really good.
Yeah, I've been dying to try that. They've had that the last 3 years that I've been there, and I haven't tried it, and it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's very good. It's the, you know, kind of like the udon noodles, you know, so it's a little bit thicker, soft noodle. But the shrimp had really good flavor. It's a pretty good dish. We like that a lot.
Now, the main reason I didn't try that was because every time I went by China, the line was very long.
Mm-hmm.
So I went by it. As far as Mexico goes, I like Mexican, but I feel like the portions are too small at the Mexico food and wine booth.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to get a ribeye taco with a little piece of... little piece of steak in there. And also, I went to La Cava instead of the booth. My sister and I went in, sat down, got the guacamole salsa and queso trio with a couple margaritas. I had the jalapeno. I couldn't go with the Maelstrom. I couldn't pull the trigger.
Why not?
None of the stuff in it sounded like it would be something I would like. I forget what exactly is in it, but I'm not like a fruity... kind of guy.
The thing about it is they, I think there's like cayenne or something like that in there too.
Oh yeah.
And with that mixed in with it, it kind of offsets. It's a little bit spicy. And
didn't it have mango? Because I really don't like mango. I think it might have had mango in it. Might have been.
I don't know. It might have.
But the jalapeno one was good. I had.
Yeah, I got a margarita from the quick service at Mexico one time, and I think it was like a passion fruit one.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah, those aren't that good.
That was when I found out that I hate passion fruit.
Oh,
it was terrible.
Yeah,
was terrible.
Passion fruit's like bitter almost.
Yeah, it's not good at all. Does not taste good.
I'm looking forward to trying that new place that just opened up, the little margarita stand over there. Looks like
it
might
be pretty
solid. Yeah, me too.
That side dish, that corn stuff that they have, that looks outstanding.
Yeah,
looks
I heard
really
some
good
things. I saw Bart Scott, I think, tried it and was a big fan of it.
Yeah, Bart and
Brock, right?
And he met up with what's his name there, the guy from Ears to You.
Yeah, Brock.
Brock. Yeah, Bart and Brock. They're just, you know what? We need to like really grow and just hang out with YouTubers and podcasters and stuff.
I am a podcaster. Oh, yeah, you mean like be able to parlay it into doing that as a career?
Yeah,
that would be good. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to we need like meetups down there. Like, what about that? You know that one. That one day they were at Animal Kingdom, there's like seven of them there.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That was crazy.
We had a meetup. Our meetup was fantastic at the Pop Century pool.
Our meetup was nothing short of amazing.
I mean, what meetup would you rather go to? One with like Brock and Tim Tracker or the one we had at the Pop Century pool?
I would rather have Brock and Tim Tracker at the Pop Century pool. With us.
Yeah, at 2 in the morning. Like, I think we're the only podcast that does meetups at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I heard you guys on Enchanted Tiki Talk the other day.
Yeah, that was late. How'd that sound? I didn't know that even came out.
Yeah, it came out. It was all right.
Yeah.
You guys were a little slow on some of your answers, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah, that was very early or very late, depending on which way you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going here. India, I didn't try anything there.
I know I didn't try anything there.
Africa, I didn't go with anything from there.
Me either.
And then the Brewers Collection just has beer. They don't even have food, but I didn't try anything there either.
I don't think we had anything from there either. That's the one that's right next to Germany, right?
Correct. So we'll move on to Germany. And they have the pasta gratin with ham and cheese, the bratwurst and a pretzel roll, the apple strudel, and then a decorated gingerbread heart. I didn't do any of that in Germany, but...
hold on a minute.
Did you try anything there?
No, but hold on a minute. This bratwurst in a pretzel roll, is that just like the regular brat that they have there all the time, except for it's in a pretzel roll?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
I feel like Germany totally punts on food and wine.
They do, because they have that pasta gratin, I think, all the time at their...
And the apple strudel, isn't that like their biggest thing at their quick... It's basically just their quick serve smaller portions.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
But you know what?
Germany needs to step up their game. Germany has got good food.
I agree with that.
They need to showcase it.
And they do need to step up, but Canada does the same thing, and they get applause.
Yeah.
You know, they just roll out a couple of Celier dishes and everyone goes gaga over it. So Germany's probably over there like thinking they're going to do the same thing. But
I mean, realistically, Canada at their booth, they need to have some salmon.
Yes.
Some walleye.
Pike on a stick.
Yeah. They need to have some poutine.
Oh, baby, and poutine. They have it. Did you hear the podcast a couple weeks ago where I mentioned that?
At the
they now have the poutine that you can get year round with the cheddar beer soup as the gravy.
That's
a fantastic addition to snacks.
And then Canada needs to finish off their food and wine menu with some glazed Timbits.
Tim Horton's overrated.
It's not that great, but that is what Canada's known for.
I think they could do something, as far as desserts go, it wouldn't be hard to do like a maple.
Something
with maple in it. And then, like you said, some smoked salmon. So I know that like in the Midwest, state fairs are a huge thing. I don't know if what the deal with Michigan's is, but obviously the Minnesota state fair is big and, you know, Wisconsin and all that. I'm sure Michigan has a big state fair. But being from little old Rhode Island, we don't have our own state fair. We have the Eastern States Expedition,
which all
six states from New England kind of contribute, and they have it. So it's like the New England State Fair. And it's like there's like a little mini Epcot World Showcase. Each state has their own pavilion. And you go in and you show off the foods and the drinks that you're famous for in your state. It's fantastic. And Vermont has long lines. They have smoked salmon on a stick, and it's like cold. It's not hot, it's not heated, but it's like cold smoked salmon.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It's like a nice big piece of salmon, and it's flaky, it falls right up, but it's so good. That's one of the things that they could easily do at the Canada.
Now, what do you Rhode Islanders bring to the table?
We do clam cakes and chowder, which we're famous for. Dell's lemonade, which is a frozen slush lemonade. Which you think you might know what it is, but unless you've tried it, you have no idea. And it's really hard to get except for Rhode Island.
Okay.
I think that's all they serve, but we have many other famous, unique foods. Like a restaurant in Rhode Island invented grilled pizza, which I don't know if that's made its way out to where you guys are, but literally just a thin piece of dough grilled, and then you just throw the toppings on and like close the grill and let it cook for a minute.
Yeah.
And that's very good. Hot wieners, which are basically like grade D hot dogs with a special proprietary blend of brown beef chili, but it's not like traditional chili, like a cumin-based chili. It's a different kind of chili. And you have it in a steam bun, and you put mustard and celery salt and chopped onions on it, and it's like the greatest thing you'll ever eat, and you'll taste it for a week and a half afterwards.
That sounds great.
Coffee milk, which is basically a
coffee milk.
Yeah, it's like, so, like, think of chocolate milk, So you get chocolate syrup, mix it with milk, stir it up. This is coffee milk, so it's concentrated coffee mixed with as much sugar as you could possibly fit and still be liquid. And you pour it into milk, so it tastes like melted coffee ice cream, basically, in a cup. It's very good. So those are things Rhode Island's known for. But I think at the booth, they basically do clam cakes and chowder, the Dell's lemonade, and then a couple local breweries for beer. But it's all good stuff.
When does this thing take place?
It's usually from, it starts Labor Day weekend. It goes through like, it's 3 weeks basically. The end of September, middle of September, yeah. It's good stuff. It's in Western Mass, Springfield, Massachusetts.
This sounds like it needs to be like a road trip.
It's pretty good. They usually have a lot of like country concerts and, you know, they have like the 4-H stuff and butter sculptures and all that hokey state fair
butter
stuff.
Butter sculpture.
Yeah, you know how it goes. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. State fair things.
All right.
Anyway, let's move on to Spain.
Okay.
Did you try anything there?
Let me find Spain. I don't think that we did, but
no, they had that charcuterie in a cone.
Oh yeah, which was not a cone.
It was like a paper cone. Yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was dumb. I mean, if it's going to be in a cone, make it an actual cone.
Right, not just a cone-shaped thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even try that. I heard it was pretty good though.
I mean, I like charcuterie plates.
Yeah, I do too. But I went with the traditional paella, which was fantastic. That was my favorite thing I had.
That looks really good.
Yeah, shrimp mussels, chicken, crispy chorizo with the traditional yellow rice. So good. I had that. Two big pieces of shrimp. I think I had one mussel, a few pieces of chicken, and like the chorizo on top. It was good. Nice big portion too, because I split that with my sister, and we both had a good bite to eat out of that.
Yeah, you know, actually looking at that menu, everything on there looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The seafood salad sounds fantastic as well. Yeah, that was one that I wish I had gone back for, but I did that like early. I rope dropped to Spain. It was like 11 a.m., and I didn't want to just fill up on all Spain stuff, but looking back, I probably should have.
Yeah.
Italy, it said I tried something here, but I don't know what I had. Crispy calamari, beef stew with Parmesan creamy polenta, absolute penne, vodka sauce with shrimp. You know what I had? I think I tried the frozen margarita with limoncello and tequila.
I'm pretty confident that we had that as well.
Which was good.
I think actually you can get that anytime.
Oh, really?
They just call it an Italian margarita.
Oh, well, I like limoncello anyway.
But it's good.
Yeah, that was good. I think my sister got that, and I tried a couple sips, and that's why I put the sticker in. I'm pretty sure that's how that went, because I don't remember trying any of the food. Italy's been a bummer in the past, but I think they stepped their game up this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I didn't try anything, so I don't know if it was good, but the options were better than just, like, chicken parm and pasta, you know?
Yeah.
The Fife and Drum, all they have is that Hansen Brother beer, which I didn't try.
Hops?
Yeah. Well, this actually, they had a different one. Hop Jam Festive Ale. And then they have Hops at Block and Hans, along with a frozen spike tea, a hard cider, all different, just basically beers and drinks at that one, the Block and Hans. But then the Hops and Barley, they have that New England lobster roll, the smoked beef brisket and pimento cheese on griddled garlic toast, and a freshly baked carrot cake with cream cheese icing. I didn't try anything this year because I tried the lobster roll and the brisket last year. And I liked them both. The lobster roll was okay. The beef brisket with the pimento cheese was very good on the garlic toast, but they didn't have anything new, so I didn't really bother checking it out. Did you go with anything from there this year?
Did not. But this was one of the places that we planned on coming back and trying something, but
Mother Nature had other plans.
Yeah. Irma said, screw you.
Yeah, sorry.
So that didn't happen. But I think I did have a beer. I'm pretty confident. Yeah, I did have a beer here. I had that Orange Blossom Brewing.
Oh, that's right.
The Cold Brew Coffee Pilsner.
I did the sampler there. I tried all of those. I had the Fat Tire White Ale, the Anchor Brewing Liberty Ale, and the Orange Blossom Cold Brew Coffee Pilsner.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that was really good.
It was strange, wasn't it? Like, it was a light beer, but it had that strong coffee flavor to it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't dark like a porter. It was it was a light-colored beer.
But we're cold brew dudes, though. We like us some cold brew.
Yeah, I love the cold. I think I had a cold brew Joffrey's every morning while I was there.
Yeah. My wife, for Christmas this year, she got me a cold brew coffee, like, maker dispenser thing.
I have one of those. It's like a single serve one where you put like the grinds in and you leave it overnight in the fridge and you're supposed to like turn it a couple times.
Yeah, see, this is a big one.
Oh, okay.
This is like a whole like
makes like a whole carafe
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it good?
I actually haven't used it yet because I've been just drinking hot coffee.
Oh, sure.
Lately. But I'm pretty excited to use it.
See, I stick with iced coffee all year round. I don't necessarily switch. Like, I'll drink a hot coffee once in a while, but my preference is iced all year.
Yeah.
Like, we had those cold days. I know you get the cold days all the time, but we had that stretch right around Christmas where it was in the single digits and negative, and I was still going strong with iced coffee every morning, so that's just how I roll.
You're a machine.
Yeah, it just goes down quicker. Get the caffeine into your body quicker that way. Now, on to Japan here. I had something here which I didn't necessarily have high expectations for, but I was pleasantly surprised. The wasabi shumai steam pork dumplings.
Yeah, how are those?
Fantastic. Oh, Bill, these are so good. They had the dumpling wrapper was basically green because it was infused with wasabi. It was like mixed in. So you get the bite and you get the instant wasabi kick.
Yeah.
But it's not overpowering. Like, you know, I don't know if you're a sushi guy. But if you put, like, too much wasabi in the wrong spot, it can, like, totally overpower that whole bite of sushi.
Yeah.
This was, like, perfectly balanced throughout the whole thing. And then I like steamed pork dumplings.
Me too.
And they were good. They had just the right amount of filling, good flavor, good seasoning. And the wasabi dumpling wrapper was a pleasant surprise. I really enjoyed it, much more than I thought I would.
Now, are you dipping those?
They did have, like, it came with, like, that soy sauce dipping sauce that most dumplings come with. It was just at the bottom of the little cardboard thing, so it was kind of already dipped in it, whether you wanted to or not.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm not complaining about, because I love that sauce, so.
Me too.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Belgium, I didn't go with anything. The beer braised beef with the smoked Gouda mashed potatoes. Sound good, didn't try it. Brazil, I had that crispy pork belly.
You just assumed that I didn't have anything about
it? I assumed. Did you? Did you have the beer braised beef?
No, not this year. I've had it before, though, and it's really good.
Is it? Now, they used to have it on a waffle, right?
On a waffle. And yes, they used to have it on a waffle, and my cousin actually lives down there, and she doesn't eat meat, right?
Okay.
Except for this dish.
Oh, boy.
This would be the only time that she ate it, when it was on the waffle, and when they took it off the waffle,
she was heartbroken.
She was heartbroken. She was so upset about it. But that's how good it is. She doesn't eat meat except for the braised beef
on a waffle
with smoked Gouda mashed potatoes on a Belgian waffle.
That sounds good. I mean, if it was still on a waffle, I probably would have tried it because I like waffles. But I feel like I feel like you can get cheesy mashed potatoes anywhere. I guess you can get a waffle anywhere, but not Gouda. Get my point.
Usually not Gouda.
Eh, that's true. Fair point. So at Brazil, I have had the crispy pork belly in the past. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it this year, although it's fantastic.
Yep, same thing for me.
But my mom tried the that Brazilian cheese bread, and I had a bite of it, and it's pretty good. I don't know if it's something I would go out of my way to get, but if it came as like a side dish. Like, if this was a Brazilian restaurant and you got that crispy pork belly as the entree and it came with that cheese bread on the side, that would be a very, very pleasant thing to have.
Yeah.
Like, on its own, it's okay. If it's on the side with something, it's very good. You try anything in France, they have the goat cheese pudding, the escargot croissant, beef bourguignon, creme brulee.
I sure didn't, but...
No, I've had the escargot.
That creme brulee sounds good.
Yeah, the creme brulee sounds pretty good. The beef bourguignon, I'm sure, is excellent. The escargot was good. I've had that in the past. And the warm goat cheese pudding sounds disgusting, so it must be good, because there was no way they'd get away with putting that out if it's not good with that name.
Have you seen what France has for the the Festival of Arts.
We just talked about that. What remind me? I don't remember.
Oh yeah, that you did. It was like it looks like it's in like a tuna fish can.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But it's clear.
It looks like, and it's like absolute dog food. Yeah.
Yeah, like gelatinous, like clear brown. It looks awful. It looks terrible.
I think I said it looks like deviled ham. Like, do you ever get those like deviled ham cans at the supermarket and like spread it on the bread or the cracker?
No.
Yeah. See, I don't know. That was like something that occasionally we'd get. Like, it's basically SOS. Like, rehydrated. Mm-hmm. You like spread it on the cracker and it's just pure salt and like you could barely taste the meat. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, it looks pretty terrible.
It does.
But
we're on.
But
we're
it can't
at
be
the.
Too bad.
No, I guess not. We're at the home stretch here, so I have Ireland as my next booth with the roasted Irish sausage. It came with the call cannon potatoes and onion gravy. Then there's the warm Irish cheddar cheese and stout dip with Irish brown bread, warm chocolate pudding with Irish cream liqueur custard. We tried the Irish sausage. That was actually the first thing we tried. We took the boat over from Hollywood Studios to Epcot, and we were just walking around, and we ended up going to Ireland, just getting this dish, and the onion gravy was fantastic, the potatoes were fantastic, and the sausage was like a, you know, like the breakfast sausage you get at the Disney buffets. It was basically one of those on there, which was kind of a huge disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wasn't expecting a breakfast sausage. I was expecting, like, more of a savory, you know, big kind of, like, stout braised sausage or something. I don't know what I was expecting, yeah. But it wasn't a breakfast sausage, and that's what
that's
it was.
That's disappointing.
Especially because the potatoes and the gravy were so good. Like, that onion gravy would be good on anything.
Hmm.
It was very good. But the sausage just didn't do it for me. However, I really wanted to try that Irish cheddar cheese and stout dip, but I didn't get a chance to try that. Sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds good. I feel like I got the warm chocolate pudding with Irish cream liqueur custard. That sounds really familiar to me, and I know that I've got a dessert at the Ireland stand before.
Okay, so you might be thinking of a year past, possibly.
It could possibly be,
but either way, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds really good.
All right, we're on to our last couple booths here. Scotland, they have the fresh potato pancake with smoked salmon and herb sour cream, a traditional Scottish lamb stew with neeps and tatties, and the Tipsy Laird, a whiskey-soaked cake with lemon cream and toasted oats. I did not try anything there. The lamb stew sounds good, as does that dessert. Like, these two are the places, if I was going to get dessert, I would definitely get either the warm chocolate pudding or that Tipsy Laird, because those both sound good.
I really, all of those on the Scotland menu sound good to me.
Yeah, anything. I mean, the potato pancake with the, I saw that, and it wasn't, it didn't look as good as it sounds when I saw people getting it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you think of a potato pancake, you kind of think of like a normal, like, you know, small plate size. It was like a silver dollar size pancake with a little bit of salmon on it. Like, it was a pretty small portion.
Then you know what I just watched the other day.
What's that, sir?
Was the video when you guys tried the haggis.
Oh, that's a great video, isn't it?
It is a good video.
I wish they'd bring it back.
Like, you kind of got this look on your face and you're like, it's not bad. It's not bad. Kind of like it. It's not bad.
I'm actually craving it. I would, if they had that, I would get it every year. I liked it.
Like, what's like the texture of that?
That one particularly was like, if you get corned beef hash, like, well done.
Mm.
Like, you know, like the crispy parts of corned beef hash?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it tasted like. And that's why I liked it, because that's like,
I love corned beef hash.
Yeah, of course. It's fantastic. So that's what it tasted like. The last pavilion in my book here is Canada. And I didn't try anything. The cheddar cheese soup, I know, you know, I've had it. And the wild mushroom beef fillet with the truffle butter sauce is, I'm sure it's excellent. And I've had it, and it's been a long time since I had it in the restaurant. It's a little different than the one they serve. But I just can't see myself spending that amount on that small of a portion of beef where there's so many other good things. Yeah, unless you're using the snack credit, which we kind of were, but
really
we
good one.
Yeah, it was a good deal for that, but I didn't go with it. I know people like it, or actually people love it. It's always a long line there, but wasn't in the books for me.
Yeah.
Did you try anything this year?
We did. We had I think it was the day that the parks opened back up, we ended up getting a reservation at Le Cellier.
Oh.
Yeah, we got the reservation day of. Because there was no one in the parks.
Yeah, I was going to say, there were probably a couple cancellations in that range.
Yeah, quite a few. But we ended up having a little bit of a wait. So what I did was, while everyone was waiting down to be seated, I went up and I got a couple things of the cheddar cheese soup. And I got the Moosehead Radler. And I also got that apple ice wine so that we could all share it. So.
Oh, so you got your appetizers at the booth, yeah. And then you went in, yeah, and just went to business at Le Cellier. Yeah. Smart move.
That's exactly what I did, which, I mean, really, if you think about it, that's a good way to do it.
How's the apple ice wine? That kind of intrigues me. I'm not a wine person. So.
Yeah, I'm not a wine person either. That wasn't for me.
No. Is it like, does it taste like wine?
Probably.
Because I've had like Boone's Farm. I used to drink like the Blue Hawaiian Boone's Farm in college. I'd put it in a blue Powerade bottle.
You're a classy dude.
That's a good wine. Does it taste like that?
I don't know. I don't even. I'm not even sure I tasted it, to be honest with you, because I'm not a wine guy either. The Radler is. I've also kind of progressed though from the Radler. That's a little bit too sweet for me now too.
Yeah, that would be something I would definitely not try. I'm not a grapefruit guy, so I know people love the Schafferhofer, but I can't do it. It's not for me. And that basically sounds like a Moosehead Schafferhofer.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, yeah.
You have anything else you'd like to add here before we take a break? Is there something that I missed or that you particularly loved?
I really loved that Flavors from Fire.
Yeah, that was good, that corned beef.
I think that was the best thing that... It was the best thing I had there.
Yeah.
I really hope they have that.
They got to bring that back. That was a hit. That place was packed all the time. I think people really enjoyed that booth. They have to bring that back.
But, you know, those booths don't seem to be the ones that stay. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, the actual dishes will stay, but they'll move to different places.
Well, that's
true. So I really
hope
that at least that dish will stay. Because I don't think that I'm going to make it back to Food & Wine this year.
Maybe the following
year. But I probably will next year. So,
yeah.
So hopefully that thing stays around, because that was really good.
Well, by then, Epcot's going to be like a total construction zone, so who knows if they'll even have spots for it.
Yeah, that's true.
But, because that booth is like, that was totally out of the way, probably the worst location you could have, and there are always a ton of people there.
Yeah.
Always a ton of people. So that's promising for that one. I'm sure they get all the numbers, and they know what's popular and what they need to bring back, and, you know, things like that, rotate things through. Be interesting to see how that survives, because there were a lot of new booths and they really bumped it up this year for the 35th.
Mm-hmm.
They had 35 booths, and they usually don't go backwards, so I imagine they're gonna either keep it at that number or add more possibly.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're gonna drop down at all.
They'll be like, oh, we have 28 now. Sorry. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they had less booths and they just incorporated some of the popular things. Like, instead of three dishes, there are four or five at each spot. That would be fine by me. But either way, they do it. As long as they don't reduce the number of options, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be all right with that, too.
All right. On that note, we'll take our second break here. We'll come back and wrap things up in just a second. All right, we're back from break. This has been episode 204 of the Por Favor podcast. Mike from Michigan joining me as Mike from Florida is busy supervising the construction of his new palatial estate. He told me, and I don't know, I mean, I've seen the blueprints and, you know, I had to obviously approve everything and cut the checks, but he told me that his studio is going to put mine to shame, which I have a hard time believing because the studio I have here up at the Westerly compound is like state of the art. We give tours. I mean, our tour schedule's booked out for 3 months, and he's telling me that his thing is going to make mine look like it's just somebody's basement with a computer tucked in the corner. So I don't know. I can't wait to see the pictures of his studio setup and everything, all the technology investments he's putting into it. But
well, it sounds like I really caught the shaft here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we gave you a cardboard box with a tin can with a string cut on the end of it for your recording setup.
Well, see, here's the thing is I had to start recording downstairs in the basement while my wife was putting the youngest one to bed upstairs.
Sure.
And then once that one was to bed, I had to come upstairs and start recording upstairs so that she could put the older one to bed downstairs.
Oh, okay.
I don't even have a room. I'm in the kitchen.
The mobile studio.
Right. Yeah, I'm a mobile studio. Yeah, it's a good thing I had a good charge on my laptop today.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's very good. Just moving around the house, so that's good. But I do appreciate you coming on and being a part of this episode. It's always fun to talk food and looking back, and that was a good trip, so...
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
did you tell your wife yet about the trip that we're taking with the villa?
Yeah, we're still in early negotiation stages on that.
Early negotiation stages.
We'll see how that goes.
All right.
I think her exact words were, "I don't know if I want to stay with them, but we can hang out with them." So it's promising. We're beginning stages are okay.
Well, it's RV show season too, so.
Oh, so you might have a full camper.
Yeah, we might have a full
camper. So you and the Willings can pull down, you can like tow down your RVs and then I'll be there. I'll just get one of the cabins,
one of the cabins
down there.
Yeah. I bet you guys would love the cabin.
Oh, I'm sure.
You got to have a car though.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I could rent a car.
You don't have to, but.
I'm not driving down, but I could rent a car. That's not a problem.
I'm a huge advocate for renting a car now after we've done it a couple times. I love it.
I'm going to be doing it in June, so we'll see how it goes for that trip.
Where are you guys staying in June?
We're staying with Por Favor Mike for a couple nights, and then we're going to go do Riverside.
Oh, Riverside.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. This is a no-park trip, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be coming up in just a couple weeks, but we pushed it to June.
Right.
So plans changed because we were going to do Cabana Bay, Universal, and then the prices like skyrocketed.
Really?
Like I had a great rate. We had a villa or whatever, a family suite at the Cabana Bay. It was like $185 a night. And I looked just for the standard room over there and it was like $270. I'm like, I'm paying $90 more a night for a worse room just because it's a few months later. But I guess that's their busier season, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say February is probably pretty off for time them. For them. So.
But we'll see. In the future, I definitely will check it out because the hotels at Universal look pretty nice.
Yeah, I've never even been to Universal. Have you been to Universal?
Never. Never been to the parks. That's why I was excited to stay and just kind of like check out the whole area and see what the whole deal was, city walk, everything like that. But
I really want to check out that Volcano Bay. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so this room that we initially had booked was like had a Volcano Bay view. It was like up in the tower. It looked really cool. Yeah, water park.
Yeah, I really want to check that out. From the videos I've seen, that looks awesome.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. Giant lazy river. If you have a lazy river, you got me. That's what I was so excited. Cabana Bay, the hotel, has their own lazy river.
What?
Yeah. And they have a bowling alley in the hotel. It's pretty cool.
They have a bowling alley there?
Yeah.
And you were going to stay there for $185 a night?
Yeah, I know. It's their value. It's like comparable to Pop.
Really?
This was for like a suite. It was two rooms, you know.
Like almost like you should stay at a Universal resort and go to the Disney parks.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people that do that because it may be worth it because you get the theming and all the amenities and then you just have to drive 20 minutes to Disney.
Which isn't bad at all.
You don't get the free parking unless you have an annual pass, which I know you usually get, so I guess that wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, but you can. There's ways to get around it.
Sure, of course.
You know,
there's always weasel ways. But I guess one thing, though, with Universal, though, they do charge you to park at the hotel. It was like $12 a night to park, even if you're staying there.
When we stayed at, I can't remember what hotel it was, but it was just right across the street from Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. It was $14 per night there, whether it was valet or self-park. And they ended up losing my keys to my brand new truck. And it was quite the ordeal. I wasn't happy. But yeah, they still charged me $14 a night.
Even though they lost your keys?
Yeah, even after valet lost my keys.
Did they find the keys?
Yeah, they found them in someone else's car.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was quite the ordeal. That'll be a story for another time.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that another episode. That's a good one. All right, I guess I'll give all our info here. So you could follow the show, Por Favor Podcast, on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Just search Por Favor Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Listen to us there. Leave reviews, leave ratings, however you do all that fun stuff. We do appreciate it. You can email the show, info@porfavorpodcast.com. Email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com, or visit our website, porfavorpodcast.com. Mike, not you, Mike, the other Mike who's not here, his Twitter is porfavormike, and you can email him, Mike@porfavorpodcast.com. You want to say anything here, Schaefer, or usually just say don't be a creep and probably could be friends, right?
Yeah, that is true. And also that this show was sponsored by Clean Cut Lawn Service. That's Clean Cut Lawn Service, MI, at Facebook, at facebook.com/cleancutlawnservice, MI. I don't know. Just it's for Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Apparently,
there's
Michigan.
Apparently there's other Clean Cut Lawn Services.
Oh, you're kidding me. Someone else came up with that name?
Yeah, well, you know, you'd think it'd be Clean Cut Lawn Care. That has a better ring, but even Clean Cut Lawn Service, people have that.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I have, in Rhode Island's weird, you know, that's kind of my job. I deal with landscapers. So we have people, and they all have the same, like, so many of the same names. And it's like, you just do it on the weekends. You're just using this name. This guy's, like, been incorporated for, like, years, and he doesn't even know you exist. But when he does, you're going to have to change your name. It's so funny.
Yeah, like there's a
there's like always green. There's like nine always green. It's like, yeah, of course, everyone has thought of that. It's not original. That's why there's a thousand of them.
There's this guy that contacted me, and because he wanted to contract out, he wanted to sub out some of his lawns, and his company name was the Original Total Landscapes. So apparently there was a Total Landscapes, and then he was Total Landscapes, and then someone else decided to name their company Total Landscape, so he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna get them."
He's like the famous Ray's Pizza Total in Landscapes. New York. Like, there's like 70 Ray's Pizzas in New York. There's the original,
but the
Ray's.
Original.
Yeah, the original Ray's Pizza. That's funny. Very good. All right. Well, on that note, we're gonna wrap things up. Mike, thanks for filling in this week. You do appreciate it, as always. A pleasure talking to you from the Diamonddale, Michigan studios. For Mike, who is setting up his studio in Sarasota area, or the western Florida, wherever he's from. I don't even know where he is, but he'll be back in a week or two. I think next week he should be back up and running. Thanks for listening to episode number 204 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los Podcast. My name's Gary. For Mike in Michigan and Mike in Florida, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
A great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow just a dream away.
Love is a dream, that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great, big,
beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.